What's your name?
Full name? Frank Romero Crockett.
And you're participating in this fast for the future?
Yes, I am.
Is this the first time you've participated in a fast?
I participated in a religious fast in 2007 during Lent, and that was about 5 days, just 5 days. So that was my longest fast.
How many days are you planning on fasting?
Could be 21 days or more.
So what is the message of this fast?
To mobilize 1 million people to sign a pledge saying that they're going to vote or take action on November 4th for immigrant rights. And then on top of that, it's mainly that the people here that are gathered today, that we're tired of the enforcement policy, the aggressive enforcement policy under the broken immigration system, that we're tired that our families and our communities are being torn apart by immigration raids, by detention, by deportation, that mothers and fathers are being separated from their children. So this is one way that we can kind of reignite and remobilize the immigrant rights movement, especially at such a historic time, by showing the power of sacrifice through fasting, through prolonged fasting only on water. But hopefully through this action, we'll be able to really galvanize our communities to come out, participate in this encampment here at La Placita, and also participate in some way in the fast. So whether they decide that they're going to fast for just 1 week, or 2 weeks, or even just 3 days, we want people to show that they're connected through in solidarity with each other through fasting. Yeah.
I notice you're wearing a Mahatma Gandhi T-shirt, and that he was a practitioner of fasting for political causes, and so was Cesar Chavez. Can you talk a little bit about the religious and political significance of the fast?
Sure. Well, I think it doesn't matter which religious tradition specifically, but all across religious traditions, people have engaged in prolonged fasting, whether that's for physical reasons, spiritual reasons, or political reasons. I'm wearing a Mahatma Gandhi T-shirt, and as a practitioner of nonviolence, and as somebody who experimented with fasting and a political fast directed towards towards the movement to liberate them from the British regime. In the same way, and also in the same spirit as Cesar Chavez, we want to kind of use that those same practices in prolonged fasting and implement it within our own movement. Within Gandhi's time and Cesar Chavez's time, during those two social movements, we saw that the movement itself during those periods were experiencing a great sense of fear and discouragement, perhaps with the political system, perhaps disillusion with their own leaders. And there's also a sense of despair, right? And I think that's what we sense today within the immigrant rights movement, especially after the failure of comprehensive immigration reform and the Federal Dream Act in 2007. I think we put so much energy into those two bills that when they failed, it was just like, where are we going to go from here? What is next for the immigrant rights movement? We were at our pinnacle in 2006 when millions of people marched on the streets nationwide, and we sensed that power, we sensed that strength, and all of us were feeling very courageous. But since then, we've kind of we just need to be reminded of that power that we experienced in 2006, and find out ways, approaches of bringing that power and energy back into the movement. And we feel that the Fast for Our Future, the hunger strike, during this time, during this historic election, might do that.
So you touched on the peak of the immigrants' rights movement in 2006 with the massive mobilization, a million people in the streets on March 25th and then again on May Day. How effective was that? I know it was able to stop the Sensenbrenner bill, but moving on, it seems that the government response has been to have a series of raids and to crack down and to build the border wall. What does that tell you about the effectiveness of mass action?
Well, I think people kind of associate the mass mobilizations in 2006 with our current situation. For instance, because we marched, now we're getting the backlash from politicians and the local enforcement through the immigration raids, through the detentions, mass detentions and deportations. So I think we need to analyze that so that way we're not really connecting those two. I think the thing that we could talk about is that in 2006, when H.R. 4437 was on the ticket, and the Sensenbrenner bill was really creating a crisis within our communities responded, and they responded beyond any organization's control, beyond any politician's control, where we were expecting just maybe hundreds of thousands of people to go on the streets. Millions of people went on the streets. And that was something that I think caught everybody off guard. But the thing that we have to kind of remember and kind of glean from our experience is that within a period of months, H.R. 4437 suddenly became comprehensive immigration reform. And although it wasn't really the best probably immigration reform for a lot of people, that was something that the rhetoric and the discourse, political discourse, rapidly changed. Now, since then, since 2007, 2008, I think with the immigration raids, I think people are sensing that our political system is trying to find put a Band-Aid on a solution that they really don't have an answer for yet. So they are trying to increase enforcement so that immigrant communities can almost self-deport back to their countries, you know. So I think politicians are struggling for an answer. And the immigrant rights movement is really struggling to mobilize within this crisis, this enforcement crisis.
So what are the kinds of things that you think would change if a new administration came in?
That I don't know. I think because this is a bipartisan action, we are not endorsing either one of the candidates. I think people here definitely have their sense of who they're going to vote for, and they have their own analysis of why they're choosing one candidate over the other. For myself, I mean, I could probably speak for many people, is that when it comes to immigration, it doesn't seem that one candidate is really standing strong in the process. So right now we really haven't seen either one of the candidates really step up on immigration reform or calling to an end of the enforcement crisis or the enforcement policy. I really don't, there's a lot of uncertainty of how the next administration is going to do that. But I think it's up to us during this time, especially when the suspense and the national drama is with us during this time, especially 3 weeks before the election, is that if we can remobilize the immigrant rights movement, that by the end of January, when the next president is inaugurated, they know that they have a force to reckon with. And that way, the next president will know, I need to be accountable to the immigrant rights movement, and we need to be talking about a just and humane immigration reform in the next 2 years of my office. So I think that's going to be up to the immigrant rights leaders and also the political leaders to settle. That myself, I don't know exactly how that's going to be. All I know is that the best I could do right now as just a regular person, as a community organizer, is to really inspire folks, energize folks, and really try to mobilize thousands of people to take part. Yeah.
You know, in the past two presidential debates, the issue of immigration was never raised by the moderator or any of the two candidates. Why do you think it is that the immigration issue, which is a huge issue and impacts probably the lives of people here in the United States more than any issue, why has that issue been sort of swept under the rug or ignored? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm just going to give you some of my ideas, but I think perhaps it's because the situation, economic situation we're in, we could give it that. But I think at the same time, what we have to kind of be aware of is that during this time, I think both candidates are really trying to court the immigrant and the Latino vote right now. I don't think either one of the candidates probably have a good sense of how to do that. So they're trying to do their steps forward in doing that. But I think perhaps they're trying to keep things a little bit muddled, you know, because that if they move too much on one side, then they might lose a base. If they move too much on the other side, whether it's conservative or more towards the pro-immigrant rights side, they're going to lose their base either way. So it's unfortunate that we haven't been hearing on the debates, but we hope that but through this action and through mobilizing folks to get out a million people to pledge to vote, that these candidates will be talking about it. We hope. That's the hope.
Do you see any differences between a McCain administration or an Obama administration on the issue of immigrants' rights?
I mean, a tiny bit. I mean, I wouldn't go so much on the details on the differences between the two candidates. But I will say, I mean, again, going back to the importance of, I think, what the candidates need to experience is a sense of political pressure. And they do need a sense that, that quote unquote, the giant that arose in 2006 with the marches, I think that really scared a lot of politicians to the point where they felt like we need to respond immediately or else we are going to lose more of our voter base, or else we are going to get a lot of political backlash through mass mobilizations, through, you know what I'm saying? So so I think the best thing that we could do, because, again, you know, candidates could make their promises and they could sound good on their sound bites, and they might say things within the Spanish press and then say something differently in the English press. But for the most part right now, I think we need to show that the movement is alive and that it will call them out if they are promoting an unjust and inhumane immigration policy. Yeah. So we need to call them out on that.
So what can people do who want to support your action here?
Yeah. First thing is to go to the website for more information. That's www.fastforourfuture.com. Or in Espanol, it's www.ayunoparanuestrofuturo.com. Sign the pledge that says that you're going to vote and take action for immigrant rights. Join the fast for as many days as possible that you are able, for 2 days, 3 days to a week. Visit the encampment at La Placita Overa and Overa Street, right across the street from Union Station in downtown Los Angeles. And live with us. Bring out a tent, your sleeping bag, bring a chair, and stay with us for a long weekend and experience the community that we have right now with so many people. We've had over 150 people pledge that they're pledged to say that they're going to commit to fasting with us. So we're hoping that 150 people plus will come here, and that we'll have many tents out on the grass and the rest of the placita, and that the media will cover this. Yeah, that's the main thing. And also to really recruit your friends and family to sign the pledge. I think that's very important. We want this to go viral nationwide. We want people to get emails saying sign the pledge, watch the YouTube video, both in English and Spanish, and take action.
Wow, that's great. Well, it looks like I count about maybe 20 tents here already. Yeah. Each tent maybe has one or two people in it. So how many fasters would you say you had here right now at the encampment?
This morning we had fasters who came for the press conference and our meeting, and then they left to go back to school or to work. So I would say there was a total of about 70 or so fasters this morning, but the people that are camping out tonight are going to be anywhere from 20 to 30. Yeah.
I see. Well, that's
good start.
It's a good start. That's quite a lot of people. That's quite a commitment.
Yeah, it is. It is. Go ahead.
Tell me a little bit about the people who are participating in the fast, where they come from, and what why they're doing it.
Well, we have fasters that have committed who are coming as day laborers, mothers and fathers, executive directors of organizations like ADEPSCA. Raul Anorbe is participating for a long period of time. I'm working full-time as a community organizer for a religious organization, and I'm here in support of my organization to stay. And also we have, service workers, blue-collar workers, a lot of college student activists that are here with us today. And also I know some family members are going to be coming out. So it's a wide variety of folks. We're going to encourage folks who are of old age to come, and children. And if they can't participate in the fast, to at least participate in the community.
And I understand you're having nightly vigils.
We're having nightly vigils and group reflections for the people in the encampment, basically to connect so that everyone feels connected to each other, and that we feel some type of unity and solidarity with each other, because during this time it's really important to build relationships, because as the days go on and we experience more fatigue and also some discouragement, especially when our bodies are changing, we need the help and support of our brothers and sisters who are here in the encampment with us.
People can get cranky without food.
I've gotten cranky. I've been on juice for the last couple of days in preparation, and I've gotten cranky with my wife, and I apologize, Stephanie, if you're listening. But I have gotten cranky, but that's all a part of the fasting process. Right now, we are experiencing a point of releasing a lot of the bad toxin within our body and pushing other things that are really bad for us within our health. So our body's kind of going through a healing crisis. And part of that crisis is headaches and some fatigue. But after a couple of days, when I talk to you again, I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of energy.
That's great. Thanks so much for speaking with me.
No problem. Thank you.